This is Fatima.
And this is Lizelle.
And this is Jerry. And we are the Sisters.
We really are sisters. And we're usually friends.
Most of the time.
Yeah, definitely. Most of the time.
Here.
Hello, Sisters.
Hello.
Jerry present.
Hello, Sisters.
Hi. Hello.
Hola, Sisters.
Present.
I didn't know it was already time.
We actually are running a little late because we were dealing with the agent on, you know, stuff at from mom's sale of the house.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it's going well. Mm-hmm. For people who don't know, we're all going through some real estate transactions. Mm-hmm. Primarily, my mom is selling the home we grew up in. She's in the Silver Lake region. And I sort of marvel at the fact that she bought that house for like $55,000.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in California, property is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And now she can turn around and pretty mm-hmm. much buy another home that's what, like, add 3 zeros for more than $550,000. So that's pretty good. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not even the height of the market. It's just that, you know, that's how good property is, I guess, in California if you're in the right location.
Mm-hmm. For but now,
ironically, I thought of Seth Kramer last night, and I remember he lives in West LA, and I happened to look at the house that he had because I was thinking the layout of the house that mom's looking at is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
He just put up his house for sale.
Oh, he did recently.
Yeah. It's on Bentley in like the West Side.
Mm-hmm, I remember.
And he just reduced it, or they just reduced it. They put it on the market for like, I think like $1.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
And they got divorced, right? But they're divorced. Yeah.
And then it went down. They cut it by like, I think it's now like at $1.2 million or something.
Oh wow, that was a very small house.
I mean it's actually 3 bedrooms, 1 bath. It's got a pretty good. It's very very similar to the house mom's looking at. That's what made me think of it. His square footage is a little bit larger. I think it's like supposedly like 1,200 maybe. But it's like a little house, you know, and it just amazes me because the houses here in Connecticut, literally, it's like the houses in whenever I'm looking at the numbers for California property, just like, OMG. They're not reasonable, but that's what the rate is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah, I think hopefully, you know, knock on fake wood or wood, mom's deal will go through, hopefully, and, you know, she'll have the house that she, her forever home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
Keeping your fingers crossed.
Yeah. Or just, you know, if not, it will be fine. You know what I mean? She's looking for a forever home. We won't know what that is until she finds it. She thinks she's found it, but, you know, it's got to be available.
Right.
So, have we been looking or delving into topics?
Yeah. I have one.
Okay.
How do you handle criticism?
That's a good one. That is a good one. I had a similar one as how do you approach conversations you don't want to have, like
that's a good one.
Uncomfortable conversations that you have to have, but don't want to do, but have to do.
Like that's a good one.
Yeah, so it's kind of similar, kind mm-hmm. of, not really.
We can start with that.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Are you criticizing me? Fatima, do you have one, or are you just free-forming?
No, it's hard for me to come up with subjects because there's honestly, I'm an open book, so it's like, to me, it's like there's not one I haven't already processed or talked about, so I just kind of okay.
I just thought of one while you're talking, and it's that when people say they're an open book, I don't really think they're that open.
An open book doesn't mean I'm going to share everything that's happening with me with you. An open book to me, my definition of it is ask me anything and I'll tell you, but you have to ask me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the person has to ask the right question in order, and then you'll say it.
No, any question, and then I'll say it.
In other words, your definition of an open book is that there are no
off-limit topics.
There's no topics that are off-limit.
Huh. Correct.
Well, generally, there are topics that are... Most topics are not off-limits. You just... You're saying you're willing to answer.
Yeah, and I'm willing to answer it truthfully and openly.
Yeah, but remember our discussion about, what do you call it, deathbed confessions. You weren't so willing.
No, I gave you my answer. My answer was I didn't want to go there, as opposed to making something up or as opposed to, you know, just kind of being superficial about it. It's like I'm open to answering you truthfully. If I'm not into it, I will tell you I'm not into it. I'm not going to make up a story, you know, just to appease the audience.
Yeah, Jerry, are you playing with seashells?
What? Am I clinking?
There's this sound, and I'm pretty sure it's from you, and maybe your hair.
I think it's moving. Maybe it's my hair. Let me put my hair back.
It's like your hair from on your Bluetooth earbuds.
It's like swishing around like seashells.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's my pillow.
Perhaps. Maybe it's your hair on your pillow.
Okay. Let me sit up. I've been laying down all day.
Maybe that's why. It's your blood coagulating.
It's crackling. Okay.
Seem much better.
Mm-hmm. I've only said that like the past two podcasts. It's your hair.
So I haven't published the one we did because it's just been a little crazy over here. But let's focus on this one. And I will have published that one before I publish this one. So people, not that you have to listen to these in order, but I think sometimes it gives it some... The last one that's published out there was the cliffhanger of whether Jerry survived. Mm-hmm. So people who are following it may not know that she did survive the surgery. So they're probably thinking we haven't published for 2 weeks because, you know, we're tending to her funeral arrangements. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we could talk about current events, like what do you guys think about, I mean, I kind of like the topic Jerry has, how do you handle criticism? I like that topic.
Then let's stick with that.
Okay. Fatima, how do you handle criticism?
First, how's about we, okay, this is going to, I don't know which one should go first. I think that it would be interesting to know how other people think the other person handles criticism.
Right. How you view yourself is rarely how people view you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're like one of these really self-evolved people. But most people have blind spots about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think it's a blind spot. I think it's more of a willingness to, well, blind, I guess. Or, yeah. I've never been... I'm not a defensive person unless you really push it. Like if I've already given you an answer or a response to the criticism and you keep pushing it to get me to swallow it whole, I have a difficult time. That's when I, like, it's not that I have a difficult time. It's, I don't, it's like, okay. I stated it. But as far as hearing criticism about me, I'm like, in the same way that I can hash it out, I can take it.
I think it's situational. Like, it mm-hmm. depends on what are you criticizing.
The content. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
About your parenting skill. Is it about your work style? Is it right. about how you drive? I mean, my reaction, I think in general, I don't take criticism well. I never have. I never have. I know that. I tend to be defensive. Mm-hmm. I think I've gotten better as I've gotten older. But I know I don't take criticism well because, like, a lot of people say, you are your own worst critic.
Yeah.
And they said the things that usually hurt are the criticisms that you know are true. Those are the ones that hurt the most.
But the truth is, they're not criticism. The truth is, sometimes they're just statements. And depending on where you are in your life, depending on what it is you're trying to process at the moment, depending on what you're feeling guilty about, or, you know, something that you're pushing down, you hear it as a criticism, because, like you said, it's like, if it's something that somebody taps into that you haven't yet, that's what you hear. But in reality, it's just a statement. Like,
no, it's not.
The word,
it's a loaded statement.
Because the word criticism to me is an act. It's like a verb, meaning that you're going to purposely people are purposely saying something to tap that nerve. But a lot of times,
no, because there's different ways. Like, okay, if I tell you guys, oh, I have a job interview tomorrow, let's go through a mock interview, and then you can criticize, like, critical thinking, like, tell me if these answers are good. That's a form of criticism. It's constructive, but it's criticism. Or if I say, how do you like this dress, it's usually a form of an opinion. That's what it's a statement, it's an opinion, however you want. It requires the person you're asking to judge you on some level.
Yeah, but that's you're making it sound like it's asking. So you're saying that the criticism comes after the ask, or criticism as in you hear a statement as a criticism?
That's different. To me, that you're talking then about criticism that... Any time, and maybe that, okay, how we define criticism,
mm-hmm.
any time somebody judges another person in some minor form, even if it's, like, innocent, is it going to be helpful? Is it going to be constructive? Otherwise, what's the point? It's like, I remember, and funny to put some humor in it, I remember Jerry, Lisa, and I, we were driving around, the three of us. Jerry, what is this noise?
I know, I hear it too.
Is it Busker?
No, it's you.
That's like this swishing, like
That one. I had to get up. Sorry, I'm listening. I had to get up because Busker got up and he wanted to go to the other room. Sorry. I think the clinking sound is his collar.
Oh, so it's Buster's fault. You're telling me Buster's always been next to you? Each
pretty much okay, so then let's go back.
Okay, so one time Lisa, me, and Jerry, it was just the three of us, Lisa, me, and Jerry, we were driving. I think we were in the Sentra, you know,
I think it was her car. It was her Honda,
because she was driving.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was driving, she was on the passenger seat, and you were in the back seat.
Yes,
it was in the Sentra, I remember. And Lisa kept, like, fiddling with
the air conditioning
in my car.
The air conditioning.
The radio, then the air conditioning. She kept touching stuff. So already I was irritated. But the other thing is, like, and Jerry's, like, sitting in the middle of the back seat. So she's kind of, like, so she has, like, she's.
I was, like, right scooting up. Yeah, I was, like, yeah, right, scoot up forward somehow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she could, like, see us. And Lisa had her arm, and Jerry, for some reason, you know immediately where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Lisa had her arm, like, swinging about because she kept touching knobs. And I just put my hand on her arm and said, Lisa, no. And it wasn't to say, like, stop, you know, moving your arms. It was like, you have really bad BO because she had really
Okay, well, let's just criticism
right there. That's
let's just get the record straight. She wears a lot of, like, layered clothes,
right?
And she sweats with every movement too. I mean, it doesn't justify what your comment, but just to
no, because and so exactly. So that's not it was unsolicited. She wasn't like, "Do I smell?" Because some people do say, "Do I smell?" Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's a form of criticism.
Right.
Because yes. I'm judging one. Am I being mean about it? I mean, it, you know, she kind of looked at me like, really? Is it bad? Like, she didn't.
But that, not only, head. But although even though it wasn't your, it was your, not only was it your opinion, but it was also true, you know.
Exactly. There's truth to it. But
right.
Was it necessary? You know, was it, right. Was it hurt her? Like. You can look at all sorts of angles. Like, did I mean to hurt her? Was I uncomfortable? Because, you know, it was like I was driving, my eyes were watering, you know, like, and Jerry was laughing so hard she like fell back in her chair. So to me, that's like an innocent, but that's a very layered criticism.
That's that's a passive aggressive criticism.
Okay, but it's still criticism, however you want to judge it.
Yeah.
Like right now, you calling it passive aggressive is a form of criticism.
But it is a passive, because you were already irritated. You prefaced it to say she was already irritating you.
Exactly.
But that's what I mean. So it's passive aggressive, because if she was just sitting still, you wouldn't say, or she was just doing her thing.
I might have. I don't know. What I'm trying to say is what you're doing is a form of criticism, very much like what I'm just trying to define what criticism is. That's all I'm doing. So all I'm saying is anytime a person makes a judgment,
opens their mouth,
opinion, that to me, it could be constructive, it could be unsolicited, it could be, you know, in the form of being helpful. It could be, criticism is like not one thing, and it doesn't always have to be acerbic.
Well,
like,
should we define what we should be talking about? Because then otherwise it would be going off tangents. Like, what specific criticism are we opinionating about?
In general, how do you take criticism? Like, if, you know, and I, like I said, it's situational. That's sort of a preface. Like, if I had to take, but I, in general, I don't take criticism well, and I know this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say, depending on the situation, like, if I know it's a work, where you go through, what do you call those, Jerry? Your
performance evaluation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Your performance eval. You know, you're going to have your back up a little bit, but you also want to be prepared because you know you're going to be criticized. And so I think if the question is, how do you take criticism? I think generally, because my self-esteem is not the strongest and I already have issues with the way I feel about my own self, I hear criticism like loudly. And then I add to it myself.
Or you hear statements as criticism, even though they're not criticisms. They're just statements.
Again, we just defined what criticism is. It's a form of a judgment. It's a form of an opinion. If I'm walking and I tell a woman, you know, is the light orange or yellow or red to you? And she says, oh, I think it's like green. And I say to her, I really think you need to have your eyes checked. That's a form of criticism.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way. Yeah, it's a form of criticism. But
I'm also trying to be helpful. It's also a statement. You know what I mean? Like, it could be in the form of anything.
Okay, I'm confused.
I think what you're trying to say, what you're trying to really get to is, like, you're just making a statement, and then the other person thinks it's a criticism.
Correct.
That's not possible.
My definition of criticism is if one solicited, it's an act. To me, the word criticism is an act, like purposeful act. It's, or if it's solicited. I don't think criticism should be labeled as criticism based on how you're receiving a statement because of where you are at in your life, or, you know, security wise.
No, I don't agree. I think empirically there's a definition for criticism, And it doesn't matter how the other person takes it. It's the statement itself, that it's the nature of the statement that makes it criticism. It's not the intent, and it's not how, it's like a verb. It's either a critical statement. It's, that's what criticism is, or it's not. It's the, it, to me, it's not a loosey goosey definition. It's, if it's a duck, it's a duck. It's not a chicken.
All right. So let's look up the definition of criticism, just for the sake of clarity.
Okay.
It's a noun. Mm-hmm. The expression of disapproval of someone or something based on perceived faults or mistakes. Or two, the analysis of and judgment of the merits and faults of a literary or artistic work.
Okay.
And synonyms, one being condemnation, denunciation, disapproval, and so on and so forth. Attack. So like I said, to me, it's almost like there's something behind, it's a purposeful statement. To criticize. Yeah,
you have to form a judgment in order to make criticism. There is, the woman's vision is not that great. And therefore, I'm telling her, I think you need to have your eyes checked. Now, am I being helpful? Yes. You know, could I have said it differently? Absolutely. I could have said, you know, I kind of think, I noticed that, you know, mom's hearing is like, when she was, mom, have you thought about getting a hearing aid?
That is a form. The way that you stated it, the way that she came back with the answer, then yes, it's a criticism. It's not helpful.
So long as I make a judgment on somebody, so long as I'm forming a judgment or an opinion, I'm being helpful.
Got it.
Regardless of my intent, regardless of how the person takes it. In other words, it has to do with like a noun. Like, it's a verb, it's a noun. It's like, am I making an opinion? Do I have an opinion? Am I making a statement out of that opinion? Am I assessing something on its merits? Or, you know, it's just, that's what it is. That's a form of criticism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at a bus, like a school bus, and I say, what color is that? You know, or we all look and we go, hey, there's the yellow bus. And Jerry says, no, that's an orange bus. And someone says, no, that's a tan bus. We all have an opinion. And it's like, to me, if we start arguing about it, we're criticizing each other's perception, regardless of whether anybody gets hurt in the process.
Right.
And you're being more literal and saying, well, if I say it's orange and you say it's yellow, but you take it the wrong way, then, you know.
Then yeah, I think that if you're going to go on that basis, if somebody were to say, the criticism to me would be not the discussion of what the color is and why would they think it's the color. It would be the personal, comments that would follow thereafter, meaning that that's not yellow. What are you, stupid? That's green or that's orange. That's where the criticism comes in. Can't you see it? Are you, like you said, are you blind?
Right.
That's where criticism comes from.
Once we disagree,
so then that's the purposeful. So that's what makes it purposeful.
Well, but us disagreeing on each other's perception, that's where criticism comes in. I think we're kind of saying the same thing. I'm just saying, I'm still defining what criticism is to me.
Yeah, because I think yours is more of a broad term. Like, you could turn any statement, any conversation, any word into a criticism depending on, again, how the person receives it.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Like, if you tell me, you know, I think your car is really old and it might be time for you to move on.
That's a criticism.
I would say, I would say that if you said that to me, I would say, you know what? You're right. It really is old.
Yeah. Exactly. See, again,
but
it depends.
It's still a form of criticism. Exactly. I agree with you.
Again, it depends
because you're
on
forming a judgment. That's all it is. The act of forming a judgment is what makes it criticism. Okay. What color is the bus? My opinion, I judge the bus to be yellow. Oh, you judge it to be orange?
So then okay. Everything, so I guess I'm thinking like, so every word that comes out of someone's mouth is a criticism. Like, could you misconstrue
it? It doesn't have to be a bad thing. Yeah, it doesn't count.
Not everything that comes out of everybody's mouth is an opinion. And it's not a form of judgment.
Okay.
My name is Lizelle Tsai. There's no criticism there.
No, it's Lizelle M. Tsai.
Okay. Now, that's the criticism. You're criticizing like, whether I got it right. Exactly. You can make a statement without it forming an opinion or a judgment.
Okay. So I already stated how I feel about it. How do you feel about criticism?
I already said I don't do well with criticism.
Maybe do you think
the unsolicited type?
Do you think that the reason why people who have a difficult time hearing criticism is because they too have a tendency to be more like are more judgmental than the person making the statement?
I don't think so. Not necessarily.
I think people who have a really, really, really hard time with criticism are one, fundamentally insecure in their own self,
uh-huh.
and also believe that they're super sensitive,
uh-huh.
and also believe that they're very critical of themselves,
right,
rather than other people, and therefore, whenever someone says something, they completely, between being sensitive and being insecure, and all of that, it just gets heightened.
Got it.
Makes sense. I don't think it's all. I think it's maybe one, because I can honestly say I'm overcritical of myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say I'm oversensitive. Hmm?
Unless you're Donald Trump, most people are. No, and I've met a lot of people, no offense, who are very, especially in the millennials, who don't have a lot of self-doubt or
right.
critical of their own actions right. and speech and all of that. You know, someone who believes they know it all doesn't have... you know, they have really, I don't know if it's really good self-esteem, but I kind of think it has more to do with the less you know about the world, the more you think you know everything.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? I was thinking of a syndrome.
Hold on, okay? I have to pee. I'll be right back.
Okay. Did you have something in mind, Gary, of why you picked this topic?
No, not at all. I think it's pretty general, you know. It's a pretty general question. And
yeah, like mom is not good with criticism.
No, not at all. But I think, I don't know, maybe I'm just super making sensitive. Excuses. Yeah, I think maybe I'm just either making excuses for her. But yeah, no, there's no doubt. She doesn't take criticism very well. I think maybe she also needs to have to understand you know, what's being explained first versus her thinking that it is a criticism.
It usually is a criticism.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It usually is. I mean, we usually are, and not saying it's like mean criticism. It's just, this is what I was trying to tell Ging. Criticism can be completely innocuous. You don't have to intend to be like mean to somebody,
right?
You could be like, be constructively criticizing somebody, like in a form of, hey, I have this interview, like, can we go through some of these questions? And you're kind of saying, judge me, you know,
right?
But with mom, I think it's because, one, she's already insecure, and two, she's super sensitive.
Self-doubt.
We're talking about how mom doesn't take criticism well.
Yeah, she has a lot of self-doubt. And to hear other people make statements that she's already kind of insecure about, like you said.
And she's super sensitive.
Yes, she is.
Now, compare her to Felix. How does he take criticism? Our dad.
He's very prideful.
But how do you think he takes criticism?
I think he's open to it.
I think it kind of like falls off of him. Like,
yes.
He'll hear you, he'll listen to it, he'll be open to it, and I think he'll know there's some basis to it.
Yeah.
But he's better at deluding himself.
I agree. I agree.
I think most men are better at criticism anyway.
Well, I think that's how they deal with each other. Whereas women are more like, you know, we hear criticism in everything.
Yeah, I think in some ways men are conditioned to take criticism because that's kind of what they do with each other.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of mean.
Sometimes I hear them talk to each other and it's like, what the hell? If I said that to a woman, we would have a cat fight. But because men say it, it's just kind of like, yeah, you know, your belly's getting a little white there. Whatever it is they say. Like, it's no big, not that it's no big deal, but it's no big deal in comparison.
I don't think I think it's no big deal and they won't admit it to that person and say, you know, you shouldn't be saying that or whatever. But then it comes back, like with Todd, it comes back to me like, oh my God, I can't believe they said that about me.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Ron, there's things that I hear that I think that he should be sensitive about, but then he's like, oh yeah, they're just like, he doesn't think anything of it. I guess the personality depends on your personality, just like everything else. But yeah. And I get mad. I get mad for him. I'd be like, are you kidding me? You shouldn't let him get away with that, you know? And he's like, no, no big deal. And then I guess it's like, okay. But it's like, that's not cool. And then there's things that somebody will say that's not, I guess, again, it's, based on how people where they're at in their lives, it's like how they receive a message, because there's statements that somebody will make and he gets really angry about, and all I can think was, what the hell are you getting angry about? It's like, that wasn't even like, you know, anything.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it depends on where the nerve is.
Yeah, or where they are, how much they've already processed with it. Like, you know, how much work they've done it with themselves, how, you know, whether they've resolved that part of their insecurity kind of thing, or, yeah.
And it depends, like, if someone who I'm really close to says something to me in critical terms or as a form of criticism versus someone who I don't really know, one might hurt me more than the other.
Right.
So again, it's like how much value do I place on that person's opinion of me?
Right.
It's all, you know, yeah. It's like if it was my best friend, or if it was someone I really truly trusted, or thought I trusted,
or if somebody whose heart you really know, you know,
or you thought you knew, mm-hmm. is more the case.
Yeah.
So have you seen this movie that Jerry? Kind of switching gears a little bit, Jerry, who has a horrible track record of recommending movies on Netflix.
The Road to Rodan.
The Knights of Rodan.
I heard it's got critical reviews.
It's a really, really old movie from 2008.
Yeah, it's been around a long time.
Richard Gere, Diane Lane. Okay, so it's from our generation. And I gotta tell you, 10 years out, I don't know if Richard Gere still looks that good, but when I was watching, I was like, oh my God, no wonder he's Richard Gere.
Did you like it?
He's really good looking, I think, but you know.
Did you like it?
I was talking to Jerry a little bit about it earlier because I was telling her, you know, halfway through the movie, I already knew how it was going to end.
Is this the one where they had an affair?
It wasn't really an affair. Because he already was going through a divorce and she already was like split up from her husband. They're in like South Carolina or Rodan, and they're in a dorm.
Okay.
He's a doctor. He had a patient die on the table. He decides to go to this little town where the family of the woman who died lives in that, and to sort of have a conversation with her family.
What did you think?
So I was saying, like, halfway through the movie, I kind of was like, oh, I already knew the Jerry.
Because I'm funny, because that was what threw me off. Like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened.
Mary, what is going on with you?
She was yawning.
Oh, it sounds like you're in a vacuum.
Huh?
Okay, better.
This is Jerry. Very Darth Vader.
You sounded Darth Vader. No, so what the point is, like, so Jerry was like, I was shocked. I was like, how could you be shocked? Like, it's so you predictable. Could only see from a mile away.
Yeah.
And the my reasoning is, the minute in a movie that things are looking too perfect, mm-hmm. like, oh, this is so great, this guy is too good to be true, one of them's gonna die.
Always.
You know, it's just part of, like, the structure mm-hmm. of most stories.
I did not expect it.
It's called, oh, it's called sign karma.
Huh?
It's called sign karma. How could you be surprised?
I think because I thought the movie was going to end, like, sooner than it did. There was a slight pause, and I'm like, oh, there's more.
No, because what's supposed to string you along, or what's supposed to be great, isn't the fact that they just met and they start a really great relationship. To me, what draws you really in is that they're writing letters to each other and they're really getting to know each other. And there's this, like, tension of, oh my God, I'm going to see him again. Oh my God. Like, you know, I know this person. It wasn't just a one night stand. Like, we're learning all this stuff through these letters. He's changed. He's in Ecuador, you know, healing the poor. They really, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's almost saint like. And then what's going to happen? They're going to kill the saint. So I was telling you, like, the minute he left, the minute he said goodbye, you know, when he stopped the car and he was hugging her again, I was like, dude, you're not going to Ecuador. You're going to your death.
Good luck.
They're going to kick you off because you're too good to be true.
Because there's nobody who exists. There's really, this is fiction.
Well, and then it just shows how great an actress Diane Lane is.
Yeah, she's great.
Because
yeah.
you could really feel
You could
her
feel. Pain. You could just feel it.
She's so good at pain. Like, the pain just in her face when something tragic happens is so,
it's
like you
all
feel
in her expression. Yeah. Right? She doesn't have to say anything. It's just the way she looks.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really an amazing actress in that. So it is a good movie just for the performance. And I like her friendship with her friend, Gina.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, it's better than that. What are those freaking movies? What the hell was The Stranger? No, what was that one that you said?
Jerry has she recommended The Creeper.
Yeah, that Creep. Oh, my God. That
okay,
was-
okay, so I would not talk with the last one you said.
I was like, no, yeah. I don't know why anybody would watch this.
What movie did
Sal? Like, Sal has some sadistic ones, and you saw it too. What was the last one?
I have.
What did you just recommend? The Strangers,
Jerry. I was it's not a movie to like. I found it really intriguing. The movie that Sal had.
What was that one again? I forgot.
The Crazy Babysitter.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was so
Emily.
It was fascinating.
It was fascinating.
It was psychotic.
No, Jerry. See, here's the difference between our movie and Dumbo.
Killing. It's like, no, oh my God.
Immediately, Richard Gere was going to die, like, halfway, which the
hey,
movie's
Sal.
Already ruined for me, right?
Sal,
it's
Sal.
Emily, you don't know what the hell's going on.
Hey, Sal, your headphones or whatever it is you use really keeps you faded, and it slows down I think you get the conversations later or something like that.
Yeah. You mean there's a delay?
Yeah, there's a delay. And it's also you're like way, like you're talking like from the, like down the street.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not on
Wi-Fi.
No, I'm not. I'm not on Wi-Fi. I'm also not on my headset.
Oh, yeah, because it sounds like you're way, like, off.
Here, let me see.
Is this better?
Yes.
Okay, now it's on my, it's on my ear.
Much better.
Wow, so loud.
Yeah, that's what you guys always say, I'm loud.
Okay. Yeah. So Jerry, you didn't enjoy Emily.
It was really like, I don't know. It was creepy.
But did it keep your interest for the time you were watching it?
I don't know. I was bothered.
Yeah, you know what's funny is when I first watched it, I'm like, oh, okay, this is really making me feel uncomfortable. But
me
it's
too.
Like,
I was like, this girl is friggin' pure.
But
evil.
It was so angry. Intriguing. It was exactly. So intriguing that you just wanted to keep watching it. Because where was it gonna go?
Yeah, I was like, who's this dude waiting in the car?
Yeah.
What's his role? And then like I was the other one, Jerry, I remember recommending to you, and you were like, I remember her coming back to me going, what the hell did you just recommend to me? Remember the Korean one?
Which one was that?
You're the one who said Korean movies. Oh, which one was that one, though?
The Korean one where the guy, he's like a secret agent, and this little girl's like, her mother is a prostitute, and there's like a drug ring.
Oh, that one was awesome.
I love that movie.
That was kind of stupid, but...
No, it wasn't. It was awesome.
That was awesome.
Oh, you like that one? No, I didn't like that one. I mean,
one where they're cutting parts out of people's
bodies. That was
just
awesome. That's crazy awesome.
Oh, wait, which one was that?
The one where...
there was a rape involved, right?
The little girl?
The little girl one where the guy is basically like a super secret agent and he just wants to be left alone because he lost his wife.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. The one whose wife... Yeah, that one's pretty good. That was...
Yeah, that was awesome. Decent. And I remember watching that. I think it was like See No Evil or See Evil or something like that. And I was like, Jerry, you have to watch this. And I remember she was watching. And then there was another one where it was like really horribly, like where some guy is like eating. Remember they were eating women? They were decapitating and... Remember, there's like a factory where they're producing, like, they're basically using meat from women.
They have so many of those kinds of movies.
I love the Korean.
You know what movie I liked? I don't know if it was, I think it was Korean. Is the one, The Road to Busan or Train to Busan?
Oh, that one was good.
I haven't seen that one. That one's on my
It's good.
That one's good.
It's
a
feel
good. Non-stop. Like, it's just action.
No, but good. The funny, I remember there was that one movie where it was pretty, like not the one where.
Have to tell you something. Yeah, that was funny that Jerry's comment is, it's a feel good. I'm like, really? Like the whole time I'm processing, what part of it was feel good?
The Train to Busan is a feel good movie?
No, it's not it's not a feel good.
It can make me feel good watching it.
What? Really?
It was a good movie. No, I mean the action,
the
whole thing about it. Not like I was so excited, like, oh, it's such a great, like, happy movie. It was more like I felt good watching it.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, what the hell? Feel good, and yet you thought Emily was creepers. It's like, what the hell's happening with you?
Yeah, I kind of don't trust Jerry's taste in movies. I don't know why. I'm just saying, you know, every time you've recommended a movie, I'm always like, But it was good. The Knights of Rodan is actually.
But her power is pretty good because I powered through the freaking creep movie because I kept thinking, there's gotta be. He has to redeem himself.
Come on, Gene.
No, first of all,
I can't believe you.
This is what's even worse. I go to watch Creep 2. Because she said, you have to watch Creep 2, but watch Creep 1 first.
That's like the worst movie ever. I would rather watch Leprechaun over and over and over again.
That's so bad.
Do you guys remember watching Leprechaun when we went to visit you in Yakima?
In Yakima.
We were in the back room kind of freezing and Ron rented this movie, and we're like sitting there going, What the hell?
Oh, there's one.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
And it's become a cult movie now because Jennifer Aniston's in it.
Yeah, that was when she was cute. That was funny.
So I was thinking the other day, if I suddenly, you know how people, I always, one of my favorite commercials ever, first of all, because I remember it, is the California Lottery commercial
back in the, I don't know, 90s, where a guy, it's just him, like, in the grocery store, and he apparently just won the lottery, and then his the voiceover is, you know, he just won the lottery, and he's like, it just occurred to me, I could afford all this cheese. Because he's in the cheese aisle.
That's your favorite commercial.
One of my favorite. Yeah, it's just, if you Google it, it's like funny because it is like people can relate to it. Like you're just walking around like at the grocery store and then you realize, oh my God, I could afford all this cheese. So the funny thing was that when I was thinking of topics, I was like, well, maybe we can go like have fun and go, What's the one thing you know you would like buy? Not like a house, not like your one thing that like would be unique to you if you had just won the lottery. I already knew what my answer was.
Are we talking about food?
No, like when he said, like when he goes, okay. Oh my God, I can afford all this cheese. Like, what's the one thing you would realize? Oh my God, I could afford this. Like where you wouldn't have to worry about it.
I could travel.
I don't mean like a car or a house because that's pretty normal.
I could travel.
See, mine would be Le Creuset cookware.
Really?
No, because you know how expensive Le Creuset cookware is? Do you know how expensive that shit is?
I do know how expensive it is.
Yeah, I would be like, oh my God, I could afford every single pot in their collection.
That's not practical. Then you have to, yeah, but you have, if since you have the money, then you'll have the money to build the cabinets to put them in because they're so heavy.
Exactly. No, I think that I've completely switched over. I do still have some stainless steel, but I've switched over to cast iron. Mm-hmm. And I have like two or three enameled cast iron, the Le Creusets, and I love going on YouTube and like looking at when people find them in thrift stores for like $10 because they're usually like hundreds of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I cook in one of my cast irons, and I'm always like, God, I love this cookware. You know, it's like how long has it taken me to realize like this is the only way to cook?
That's funny. Mine would be a live-in, not live-in under the same roof, but like on the property. Somebody who just cleans all day.
Like, what's her name? Alice from the Brady Bunch?
Yes. So that I don't have
to. Well, Alice kind of lived with them, though, but yeah. Yeah,
but, you know, like a couple, like an old, you know, like a retired couple who just wants to, you know, somebody like the husband's the handy guy, you know, they're just trying to busy themselves kind of thing. And then the woman helps me out kind of thing. That would be my spend right there.
That would be, I kind of had that for a little while, but.
To me, that's peace of mind for me.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Especially if they're like nice people you can rely on. Yes. They're like, that way you can travel. They can watch the house.
Watch the dog when we're gone. Right.
You don't have to worry about them killing you in your sleep.
Right. Yeah, like they'll know where if anything happens. Well, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Well, maybe when mom has her next boyfriend.
And
I don't think so. Yeah, no. Basically, like it's nice just to know. Well, I mean, it's not the same because if you had a neighbor that was like that, because they
Yeah.
That was their job.
Mm-hmm. The one who, if you guys weren't available, can go through my drawers before mom comes to the house.
Well, basically someone who knows your entire household.
Yes.
You know.
And doesn't judge me, just is there to support me. You know, because, yeah.
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 That would be nice.
That would be
nice. Who could wash on my Le Creuset?
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. So what would be yours, Jerry?
Travel.
I would travel and eat like Mark wings.
Really?
Oh my God. Why do you guys love that guy so much? Are you guys
I
insane?
Don't love that guy. I'm just saying I tolerate it because I like his videos.
That guy, I like I his can't... videos.
Oh.
He makes food look so like he's such a positive guy.
Because he's being filmed.
He's filming himself.
He's being filmed. That's what I mean. He has an audience. If he didn't have an audience, it would be like, what the hell?
Have you ever seen him when he does it, when he realizes he's not on camera? Mm-hmm. He completely changes his personality.
I told you.
It's almost that YouTube. I want to see that.
It's almost like lights. He's like, rrr, 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 camera.
Look at, no. Look at the one, Jerry. I'll find it. There's a video of him when they go to Hawaii. They go to, because that's where I think his family is.
Right.
So they go to Hawaii and
yeah, I saw that one. He went to Hawaii.
Oh, where he's having what's the tuna called there?
Oh, the poke?
Poke.
He's from the market.
Poke. Yeah. I think there's a couple of them where he's having poke and he doesn't he's eating and his wife says to him, because he doesn't realize he's being videoed at that moment, like that something happens, like she says, oh, you've got like onion hanging from your or the door or the lock or something, and the way he behaves when the camera is off or when he doesn't realize the camera is on because he thinks it's off is very different than his on screen.
I told you,
and I think the difference between his persona between the two is so different that's what makes him scary.
Yeah, because nobody is like that in. Nobody walks around the way that he does on camera, which I know on some level people do change when the camera's on, but this guy is over the top. Like, what the hell? That it's so
creepy. I do see on him is that he's a little OCD. That's what I see.
You think so?
I'm insulted.
OCD in what way?
Well, I mean, I think that he's like, you know, I get it. He's on. Yeah, I think he's on YouTube. Even though he's on YouTube, you know, he wants to have everything like perfect so he can, you know, capture his audience. But I think it's more like, I think it's a matter of like
control.
Like I hear you. But no, like kind of he wants to make everything like, you know, like perfect.
Just so.
Versus well,
it's
something
it's
that's
income, right? So right. But what makes me kind of uncomfortable watching him sometimes is especially when he's got people around him and, you know, they're trying to enjoy the experience of just being there and enjoying the food. And he's like on the camera and he's trying to balance like
right.
making his video. And then he's more focused on
his video,
on his video than sharing,
being social. Right.
Yeah. And that's fine because I realize that is their income. They make really good money doing that. But I don't know. Like, I do wonder, like, what his home life is when the camera's off.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But I believe he eats just as much off camera.
No.
You don't think so?
No. I think that there's power in what compels people to do what they do. So I don't even know that he even enjoys the food anymore. Maybe in the beginning.
Auntie, you are so critical of this man.
I was kind of like, I was looking at his biography, how true it is or whatever, but I mean, you know, he graduated from a university and he was actually
he went to
working
Arizona.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, his childhood, I mean, maybe it was because he was being bounced from one place to the other. I mean, his parents, you know, they were there and then they moved to like where
they're missionaries. They're
right.
Christian, they're born again Christian missionaries.
Right. So, you know, how much he was able to gather as a family life type setting, I don't know. But I think I think that, you know, it seems to me like he's kind of like
antisocial.
Yeah, he's like off, like he's like hands off, like a hands off type person.
You think so? I think he's I mean, not knowing him, I do think he's had a fascinating life because his parents were missionaries. He
right.
was raised. He was raised in like in Africa, Northern Africa, mm-hmm. not South Africa. And so he went to like a missionary school,
where right? Academy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wherever he has friends, they're of different ethnicities. He has friends who are.
I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm.
I think it is interesting. And you know, he has family in Hawaii. I think it's,
you know, I don't know enough about him, but from the little bit, and I am going to be critical, and I am going to be judgmental, I think that his parents bounced from, they were missionary because they were trying to find somebody to get rid of the demon that's inside. I think that, yeah. There's something I'm trying to remember
his birthday.
I wouldn't be surprised if
he's I want to say he's November, but no, I'm sorry. No, hold on. I think he's January.
I know what year he was born. I don't know what month.
Hold on. I'm sorry, but mom's texting me.
What do you think about the guy, what's his name?
The lighthearted one who loves food and makes foods look delicious.
Eglin Chan?
No, who's that? I don't know that guy.
Ed Chen. Cheng?
No, that's Mike Chen.
Oh, Mike Chen.
From Strictly Dumpling.
All right.
He's a little goofy. Like, he's a little bit corny to me. Like, every time I watch.
But he comes off a little bit more like, you know.
Okay, so he's February 26, 1986.
Yeah, 1986, I know. He's Darwin's sign.
Yeah, Pisces. And he's the way that he is. So that even tells you that something's off there. You know who's sign he is, gang?
He's Gus's sign.
I know. You know what gets? You know what's really creeps me out whenever you guys talk about him.
Gus or Mark?
It creeps me out that you guys creep me out whenever you talk about him. Like it's like an okay thing, or that you guys like are not enjoying. There's something about like you guys are enthused by his videos. It makes me. It kind of touches a nerve with me where it's like, you know, when Trump gets on his tirades and his followers, he can do no wrong with his followers. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like, what the hell? Do you guys not see?
No, this guy? I don't watch it because of him. In fact, he totally turned me off. I kind of watch it because you almost want to see like what crazy thing is like what weird thing is gonna come of it. You know what I mean? I watch it because the quality is excellent. Like his film quality or his video quality.
Yeah, he's very proud of that. Yeah,
he's very proud of that. He's worked if you look at like the very first videos he did, they're like shit basically. And like they're literally like 1 or 2 minutes, if even that. Mm-hmm. And he had like a ponytail. I mean, it was just, you know, it was crap. But the quality of his videos are really good. The food is amazing. I'm never going to go to the places he. It's like,
right.
Yeah, I'm never going to go to those places.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's more destination than personality.
Okay. So, yeah. So he has to maintain that in order. He can do it because of what he does and him faking it. You know, he's compelled by that, but it's like,
I know what you're saying, but the funny thing is the guy who gets me annoyed enough that I don't watch, even though he goes to some amazing places, and I know you watch him, Jerry, is that Kenny James or something James guy, the guy who's the food ranger. I hate that guy. And it's not because he's mean or weird, or it's just he is a little too fake for me. Like, oh, yeah, ha-ha.
Who's that one? Is it the white guy?
The white guy.
I stopped watching him.
Who's from Canada, who's engaged to the Asian girl in China? Something James.
Aren't they all?
No, yeah, really. Basically, yeah. The something James. He's the food ranger. He's another one that I used to watch pretty regularly. And then I just kind of got like, really? Really? Mm-hmm. It just started to get old. It just started to get like, all his videos are like almost similar. I do like Mikey Chang. I like that Luke Martin guy. I told you they're younger.
Yeah, he's kind of boring though, Luke Martin.
That's what I like about him, because it's about the food. It's not about his weird personality. It's not about his devil eyes. I'm not distracted by the food. Yeah, they're not, the quality of their videos isn't as good, but yeah, I would say at the top of the food blogs is Mark because of the quality of his videos. There is
two travelers from, I think they're from Australia, they're New Zealand. She's like, I think she's of Asian descent, and he's a Kiwi. And they also travel, and I was watching them for a while, but she started to get on my nerves because of her accent. It's very weird to watch someone who's Asian and have a very thick Kiwi accent. Yeah. Oh, we're eating on the plate?
Oh, God.
And I'm just like, I'm distracted.
That's very distracting.
What's Kiwi? What is that? What is that one from?
Huh?
What is that language?
She's
that
from New Zealand. From? It's, I think their channel is called Chasing a Plate. So if you ever like see that Chasing a Plate, just watch for like one video and you'll understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're here in New, like, we're here in Indonesia. We're chasing a plate. It was just like, okay, my head hurts. And then I will say there's one more. I like to watch Instant Pot videos because I'm still trying to figure out my Instant Pot. And I've been watching a lot of the Filipino channels. And so there's this couple. I forget what it is, but I'll send you guys a link. And they're both Filipinos, obviously. And my one pet peeve about Filipinos and the thing, their language, the language is when they speak Tagalog, I like to hear the actual accent of Tagalog, right? If I'm going to say adobo, I say adobo, not adobo.
Oh, especially when you know they know how to do the accent, or that they know the word, you know, the proper way of pronouncing,
or just
it, but
at least there's an effort.
Yes, I agree. That gets on my nerves. Yeah, too. So to me, that
girl, Mark Wayne does that. He'll say tacos.
Yeah, well, Mark Wayne is just weird.
Because he's a coco.
Yeah, he actually says it's splicious. And I'm like, splicious is not a word. And when it's everything is the spiciousness of it, I'm like, what spiciousness?
You know, I don't know what it is, but every time I hear his name, it just makes my blood.
That's why I do it, don't you know?
Yeah. I can't take it. It's almost like I have OCD about hearing his name or
you have
about
a very
it.
Like averse reaction to him. Like somehow you know him from a previous life.
I do. Hey man, I don't a person, how much more blatantly evil looking can somebody look?
You know what's funny is that other people have commented that on the comments. Like sometimes.
Yes, he's creepy.
Well, wait, let me finish. So there's this couple and they're Filipino and they make a lot of Filipino stuff in the Instant Pot. So first I was like, okay, I can tolerate this. And then where it broke me was when you say, how do you say rice? Kain? Kanin. Oh, kanin. It's kanin is rice, and then you also say kain for eating, right? Mm-hmm. She goes, so the word she uses, enjoy kaining with your kain. Something like, I was like, what the hell are you doing to the language? I was like, is that what I think I heard? Like, kaining with the kain.
Kanin with the kanin,
yeah, or something like that. I was just really like off, and I remember my friend Zoma, she couldn't understand why that would annoy the hell out of me. She goes, why are you so annoyed by that? I'm like, it's like, so she's from Puerto Rico. I said, you know that meal that you guys make, it's what's the one where they do pork in the what the hell,
asado?
It's kind of like that, but it's oh man,
menudo.
No, it's a Puerto Rican like roast pork, and there's a name for it. So let's say it's called gaucho. It's gacho. I said it's like someone saying the word gacho, which is like gacho.
and you know that they know how to say,
and that's
it,
like, okay, you need to say no more. Because she was especially so turned off, you know, I'm like, yeah, it like grates on your nerves, you know.
Yeah, especially when they're more fobby than you are, but you know how to say it, but they act like they don't know how to say
so
it.
So I'm trying to think of like the equivalent in English. Like, what's a word in English that we know how to pronounce it, but the way someone says it, it like grates on your nerves? No, that's different because the only people who mispronounce it are actually real foreigners. Mm. Not from their own, not like from their own language, like not a, like Americans, like let's say a white person would like jokingly miss, what is it, say something just to mess around, but they know how to pronounce
it. Like potatoes?
Yeah, I think my ears just kind of, that rings true to my ear. I don't know that that's
potatoes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's like, it's potato.
Potatoes. What else is that? That's all pretty much he says, right? Potatoes.
Yeah, that's potatoes. The one that, sounds like B. Potato. He says potato. It's not every
potato.
It's not every P. It's just that potato.
Potato.
Say it fast. I say potato fast. Potato. Maybe it just sounds like it.
Potato. Like pa.
See, but there's no confusion. Like, it's not like you're saying potato. Like, even if you say potato. Fast, potato. I can still hear potato. The P. Yeah, potato. Right? No, he always says potato. It's like, what the hell?
You know, because normally it's potato, tomato, yes. Right? But here's potato, potato.
Potato. He says potato. It's like, what the? And it's funny because I forget about it, you know, because we don't have that many potatoes. But then every time he says, you know, yeah, we're doing this, we're doing that, and the word potato comes up, right away my ear's like, wait, it's potato. He said potato again.
Does he still do it?
Yes. I don't know if it's maybe my ears are just. Do you guys ever hear him say it?
I didn't hear it.
Next time you guys are over, you guys, I have to try and get him to say potato, and then see if it comes off sounding that way.
Ron, what's this called? Oh my god. He doesn't like that criticism, you know.
He doesn't like any criticism. That's one guy who, as far as that's concerned.
You know what, though? I have to say, most engineers,
well, I would say 90% of the engineers I know do not take criticism.
No,
because
they don't.
They're about being precise.
Correct.
Sorry, I'm flushing.
Who's going pee? Huh? Who's going Jerry? Pee?
No, it's not.
How rude.
It's totally Jerry. You can tell because she's swishing at the same time.
I just opened the door for Buster.
Oh, blame it on Buster again. It's always Buster's fault.
I can't swish because I'm limping. I'm not swishing.
It's like you have bracelets.
That's his collar.
Yeah, but we were hearing it when you were in the hospital, Jerry.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. That was my hair.
So unless Buster was there as an apparition. Okay. So, closing thoughts. How's it going with the housekeeping?
After the fires, it's really slow, and then the kids are back to school, and so it's kind of a slow time. I'm in no hurry, other than I hate being in limbo. But I know that it's gonna be when you least expect it, and it's like, oh shit, the time to, like, you know, reality hits. So
that's kind of like me. At first, that we were, I was rushing, like June, you know. Then now I'm November.
Right.
Like, I got my hopes up already. Whatever. Mm-hmm. So mom probably for.
Yeah, now mom's thinking more and more, and now she's saying she wants to look at the house again. She wants to make sure the sprinklers work, the toilets flush.
Well, she has 4 days in the inspection period.
Okay.
By the way, did she send the document to be signed, the offer?
No, Gayeon just sent the Gayeon sent. I don't know. She sent an email. I sent a response to her email asking if she can, if mom can look at the house again.
I would not. I would put in the offer and then do the inspection.
Okay. Okay.
I wouldn't wait if that's what she really wants. Did you see the house that she wants, Dean?
No.
Oh, well.
The one that Jerry sent, if that's the same one.
On Carita in Long Beach.
Is that the same one you... No, that's a different one. Send it to me.
It's cute. It's small.
So what's happening with the offer on her house?
It's firmed up. It's all done.
Mm-hmm. How long is... Sorry.
We needed to have her
escrow.
We needed 40 days. We needed to get her past that point so that she could get pre-approved on a loan to make an offer. And we're now on the, we're like 75% of the way.
So is the, so did they, did they, her counter offer they took?
No, I think, no. They didn't? Well, they extended the period. That was about it.
So they stuck with the original offer.
Correct. And based on that, they could underwrite a loan for what she needed for the house she's looking at right now.
That's what I figured. Okay.
Yeah. In fact, it's a lot less than we thought it would be. So that's good.
Good.
You know, does she really like that house?
Yeah, or she likes does. The price?
It's creative financing.
It is very creative. You know, it's pretty amazing, actually. At her age with no job... She's got pension income. She could still qualify for a loan. I'm just like, then no one will touch me but mom. Mm-hmm. Right?
They've taken banks and places have taken riskier loans, trust me. And banks have taken riskier loans and people who have no reason affording anything.
I'm even scared to take a car, anything, because I need a new car. And I was like, I don't want a car loan. That's just not who I am. So I'm trying to get my cash together to basically buy a used car. Mm. And that's pretty much all I need, you know. I like
not if you're cars. Moving. Not if you're moving back to California.
Why? You know what? That's what's going to be very interesting for me is if I do move back to California. I don't know if I'm going to be impacted by moving there.
What do you mean?
I don't know if I'm going to care about the car I drive.
No, it has nothing to do with that. I'm talking about reliability.
Oh, yeah, that's true. What is going on?
Sorry, I was drinking water.
Jerry.
So, just to wrap things up, can you just take a look at the last email that she sent?
No, Jerry, I was just going to go to sleep.
Because I need to get Cookie ready. She starts school tomorrow, by the way.
I know. I just have to look at it. That's what I was waiting for. So. No, Jerry, I was, you know what I mean? I'm going to just go take another lorazepam. And by the way, Dean, the lorazepam did not work for me last night.
He didn't take enough.
I took one.
You should have taken more.
Every time I take more, it works, but then it's hard to get up in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I'll just stick to one and wait.
It makes you have dreams.
It relaxed me, though.
Yeah, it makes you have dreams.
So I was calm, but still awake.
Mm-hmm. Can you guys forward me some papers, too? I have no clue what's happening.
With what?
Mom?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all we're doing now is firming up the offer that she's making on Carita.
Right.
That's it.
Oh, let me send. Yeah, and I'll send you the thing, too. The link.
Okay. All right, so
a lot has happened.
So unless anybody has another topic or another thing to talk about,
nope. Other than if you wanted, what was the other subject you were talking about? There was criticism, and then what was yours?
Having difficult conversations.
Having what?
Difficult conversations.
Well, my answer to that is I just have them. I don't avoid them.
Okay. But how do you manage them?
What's there to manage?
Okay.
What do you mean? Like,
like have sitting somebody down and giving them a bad performance review, or telling someone they're making a lot of background noise during a podcast.
I think it's not a matter of I just say it. It's a matter of whether I think it's worth having that conversation, like you said. But if it's something that's I have to have that conversation, yeah, I'll just have to have it and just hope, you know, be prepared for the worst reaction.
Well, just like managing it, like having, like I was thinking, like having to tell someone somebody died. That's a difficult conversation to have. Nobody wants to be able to do that. You know, I always think about my doctor when she had to tell me, you know, you have cancer. You know, whenever I think of difficult conversations, it's kind of like having to have a conversation you don't want to have with that person.
No, I don't overthink things. I just want to overthink it. I tend to leave things out. Like, I just kind of do how I would like to receive it, as gentle as possible. But the message is the same regardless.
What the heck is going
on? All right. I think we're good for this podcast.
Let me find something. Hang on. I don't have anything here. Okay, Derry.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it sounds like to be on the phone with you.
No, it sounds like this.
No, I'm in a dilemma.
Really?
Do I, am I, so not to get off topic, but do I add water to the adobo?
No.
I don't?
What are you doing? No. Never.
So how come yours was so soupy?
Natural juice.
From the chicken and the liquid that's already in the thing that you're cooking.
So you don't rinse out like the first, nope. Like, you know, like the, like how mom makes the soup?
No. Well, first of all, I just rinse and pat dry, very dry, okay. The proteins.
Oh, okay.
It has to sear.
Got it. Okay.
And on a cast iron, like a Le Creuset.
So I don't add any water. It's just the only liquid is from the meat source and the soy sauce and the vinegar.
This is how simple adobo is. Really simple. Depending on the pan you're using, is you make sure the meat is super like dry, like and for me room temperature. I don't like to cook cold meat.
No, it's room temperature.
Okay, and dry. So, and I started with the chicken because it has chicken fat. It has the. So I started to brown just the chicken with the skin down, right? Brown it. And then I like chicken with pork at the same time. Because
yeah, I have spare ribs.
Okay. So, and I don't like it all just chicken. Like people like all chicken, but it's like too much chicken for me.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the fattiest is, that's what you start with. And okay. You basically, not frying it, but you searing.
Yeah.
Okay, so everything gets seared nice and brown.
So you add oil?
A little bit of oil, not that much. A little bit, because remember, it's chicken skin is already fat.
I don't have chicken skin.
Ew.
I should have gotten skin.
Ew.
Sorry.
Wow, that's going to be dry.
It costs more to have the
skin. No, it wasn't so much. It wasn't even that. It was just what was available in front of me at the time, because I told you it took like an hour and a half to walk around the market, so I think I just grabbed the first chicken thigh pack I could get.
Okay, I think that's fine. So then don't start with the
chicken. I'll get the spare ribs first.
Is it the chicken thigh? Mm-hmm. Is it the thighs?
It is the thighs. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's perfect. So start with the spare ribs because that has probably more fat on it. And then definitely.
It depends on the.
Yeah. Is it a spare rib?
It depends on the pan you're cooking it in too, and how much liquid escapes. Because if there's a lot of liquid that escapes and your fire is a little bit on the high side, your water is going to dissipate faster.
Okay, so I'll and just have okay. to temper
it's
it.
It's okay. Somehow. It's totally okay if it's like there's like a lot of brown burn bits on the bottom. It's even better. So
yeah, but if it's completely dry, then it's no.
No,
good.
No, not completely dry. So that there's a little bit of oil, but and even if it's like super brown. So long as there's oil and it's like...
So basically just to sear it. Yeah, not the whole thing seared, but parts
right,
of
because,
it at least.
Right. So start with whatever the fattiest protein is. And then if you... I would say that the chicken has no skin.
just kind of brown that a little bit, but don't even really try and brown it because you'll dry it out.
Okay.
And then
just put the fatty side of the chicken, like the one where the bones are more exposed down.
Yeah.
That's where the fat's at.
Right.
Yeah. So put the spare ribs at the bottom because of the bone.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chicken on top.
Yeah. Got all that.
The opposite. So now that you've now that you've seared everything and while you're searing, I would put the meat, like I would sear it, put it in another bowl. Put it in another bowl. And then all that brown stuff, all the bits that are like whatever, blah, take the soy sauce that you have and put the soy sauce in first and then like deglaze the pan so that you're picking up all that good stuff.
Okay.
And then put the meat back in.
Okay.
And then, or the protein, put your garlic, put your peppercorns, put your basil. And then like the last step for me is the vinegar. Then I don't stir it after that.
Okay. Got it.
Are you using potatoes?
Yeah, I do. I actually bought the little golden potatoes.
That's better.
Oh.
Right?
But don't put that in. Well, it depends how. I would put that in like halfway through.
Maybe I'll put some in first just to kind of thicken it. And then.
Yeah, exactly.
And then some at the end.
And remember, are you using the Silver Swan soy sauce?
I don't have Silver Swan.
What are you using, Kikkoman?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh, my heart's breaking.
That's more bitter.
I know. I couldn't go to the Filipino market now. But
that'll work too. You just have to. Use.
I do have fish sauce. I do have fish sauce.
No. Is it low sodium or is it high sodium?
It's low sodium.
Is it the green one? No, that's good. The low sodium is better because it's not as strong.
Yeah.
So the only thing I would add, if that's the case, is I would like add, if you have it, lemon juice.
Yeah.
And vinegar at the same time. Like vinegar
lemon juice. Maybe some sugar.
Yeah, sure. This, because the soy sauce is so much saltier. And Jerry, do not add the fish sauce until the end.
Okay.
It might be really.
No, I won't I won't add it until I can taste everything. Okay.
And if you do oversalt anything, this goes for anything, adobo, machado. If anything is overly salty, just throw in potatoes because potato will suck up the.
All right.
The saltiness.
So, okay. Got it. I'm excited.
All right. That makes me want to kind of cook, but I haven't defrosted anything. Hello?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, okay. So, King, what are you cooking?
I'm not. I have leftovers.
What's your leftovers?
I had my Brussels sprouts that are, you know, the crispy Brussels sprouts. I had them with some chicken, grilled chicken, and some ginger, you know, the powdered ginger on top of it, and then some nutritional yeast on top of it, and then salsa on top of it.
Man, I would hate to be your stomach.
I know.
If I had to choose who I would want to be as a tummy, it'd be mine.
I'm very, as far as that kind of stuff, I love good food, but it's like I have to really be prepared.
Did you see what I had for lunch? I just took a flour tortilla, put some cheese, put some pepperoni, threw some arugula, and I had like an awesome lunch. Awesome.
I am the most, when it's just for me, I hate food prep.
It's not for even me. Food prep. It's literally melting cheese.
No, but pepperoni. I mean, I'm talking about, if it's not, I just prefer like slap everything in. I'm not, for myself, I've become so lazy about prep because I'm so.
Oh, but so this is what I'm saying. That's why I was like hot because it's cooled down. But I was like, I don't want to cook. I don't want to like use a pan. So I literally took flour tortillas, cut up some of that Baby Bell, you know, cheese, cut it in half, throw it on top of the flour tortilla, put the pepperoni, put it in the microwave or broiler, heat it up so it all melts. Get some arugula, throw it right on top. That's it.
That's how I like to eat.
And then, balsamic vinegar on the top. if you want, you mm-hmm. know, that's it. So perfect. I think I'm gonna have that for dinner too.
I'm getting hungry.
That's like your pizza.
Yeah, but with not a lot of bread because I don't like bready stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, bread. Plus, bread here spoils so quickly.
Yeah, that sucks.
The humidity.
So, all right, people. I think okay. that's a wrap for us this week.
Happy eats.
Happy eating. And until the next time, think of another topic okay. that we can fight about.
Okay.
All right. Salamat, Seisters.
All right.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.